Hello and welcome to another episode of Taht al-Hawa ma' Siba Audi ana Siba. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and the stream of love songs and rom-coms and Instagram stories of hearts and bouquets has already begun. But for many of us, love goes beyond the romantic. Love is our children's laughter, the opportunity to help our community grow. It's a nice long dinner with a friend who makes time fly by. In a world where we're more disconnected than ever, both physically and emotionally, where burnout thrives and where our days feel consumed with bad news and isolation, we tend to set love aside. In the following hour or so, I'm bringing love to the center, not as an act or a feeling, but as a mindset. What would happen if we chose love in everything we do, every single day? What does leading a life with love at the center really mean? To discuss, I brought four ladies whom I love, whom I spend a lot of time with, my three best friends. Please meet them. We're rolling. Farah, Rana, Lodi, and Siba makes four.
Let's talk a little bit about this group and how
it's
we,
all Farah's fault.
We got together. Farah.
It's all Farah's fault.
It's Farah's energy.
Farah saw something. She knew that if she brought us together, we would have something special. She knew that these were conversations that we had to have together. We had never met before, remember, Siba?
No.
I mean, I met Lodi maybe a couple of times through Farah.
It was actually you that triggered the thought process, because we were sitting together. Yeah. At your place
during COVID,
and you said to me, your best friend is in Lebanon and you have no one else to talk to. And I said, how is that possible that you have no one else to talk to? Yeah. I said, we need to bring people together that can talk to each other.
So this is, we'll go back to love and all that, but I think this is a very important thing to highlight. Mm. This group, the four of us meet regularly. We're constantly in contact with each other. And we made the not because we were friends or we shared histories together, but because we made conscious decision and a commitment to find love amongst each other and to support each other through that love, if for nothing, but just to make sure that no one says, my best friend is halfway around the world and I have no one to talk to. So Farah, the mastermind of this group, which you called mastermind, what is this group? And why should women have groups like this?
And we have to give credit to Caroline, who you introduced me to.
Yes.
Who became my coach, yes. Who came up with the mastermind group. Mm. And the importance of having people that are values aligned at the core of it, because if your values are not aligned, it's very difficult to have intimate, vulnerable conversations and feel connected. And so we did our VAYA strengths, and our top five values all coincided. And honesty, I think, was in the top five. Mm-hmm. So you need to have two overlapping. And I think as you become more senior in your career, male or female, it becomes more lonely. Mm. And it's not easy to be able to confide and have conversations with people who you know have your back. And this specific circle, different to maybe others, is not about a shared goal or everybody has to move in the same direction. Actually, it's celebrating our independence and our individualism and saying, how do we each support each other to move in the direction we're looking to move as individuals, whether it was down the wellness and happiness, whether it was down sustainability at one point, whether it was becoming the superstar you are today and the star that shines. So it was all about each one of us identifying what's next for us? What do we hope to achieve? And how do we all come around and support each other? How do we make sure that we each have each other's back and are there unconditionally in many ways?
Non-judgmental,
non-competitive.
And we feel safe and we support. I think even the WhatsApp group, if we haven't seen each other in between that time, somebody will send a message about how they feel and we're all onto it and we're all sending love and we're sending encouragement and support. Or if someone wants to celebrate something great that's happened to them, you want to share it with this group because you know that they genuinely love you and are happy for you.
It's true. I have to say, I've always found it very difficult to express my innermost feelings or to come out with, I've always found it throughout my life difficult to call someone up and say, hey, what are you up to? Let's go for a coffee. Because I feel that I would be imposing on their time, no matter how close we were. But within this, what this group taught me is that this is available, Siba, this is available to you anytime that you want, and I'm grateful. And I love you all.
And we are grateful. Yeah.
This is available to me at any time, and nobody's going to judge me, and nobody's going to make me feel that they're doing me any favors or anything like that. And I found so much comfort and so much strength in the love that I found in this group of women who did not know each other, but made a sort of like contracted to be there for each other with a mindset of love, but also with a feeling of love, which comes through every time we meet. And thank you. I'm going to go.
And you took that to the workplace.
Yes, indeed. So we started this program at where I work, where we have this peer mentorship, and I call it the masterminds. And the idea is for people who are peers to actually meet like we did once a month. And I give them an example. You know, it started as a meeting once a month, 90 minutes. We go in turns. We talk about goals and dreams. And I remember the first time I went to that meeting, you remember it was by the beach?
You brought the
picnic. Yeah, I brought the towel and stuff. But like, I remember thinking, I was so nervous about that meeting because I had never stopped to think about goals and dreams because I'm so busy with the everyday. And so it felt like a challenge to kind of think about these things. But I think what was especially special about our group is that we all aligned on the value of honesty. Mm. So we had very, you know, brutally honest conversations, and some were very uncomfortable. But it is those conversations that propelled us into where we are today, because of, you know, we pushed each other, we allowed each other to dream beyond, you know, what we knew for ourselves. Mm.
Which is easier, to give love or to receive love, Rana?
I would say to give love.
أسهل.
أسهل بكتير.
How come?
It's easy to you know, forget yourself and just think of others. It's easier.
Maybe for you, but maybe not for others. What do you think, Lodi?
I agree with Rana. I think for me, I feel so much more comfortable giving love. I do it naturally. I don't think about it. And I don't like to put people out. So an act of love can be anything. And I prefer to give. I'm comfortable receiving, but I prefer to give. I think it's easier.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree, Farah?
Yeah, I think it's a balance between giving and receiving. I mean, I think that we need to learn to receive. Mm. Just to give and not to receive does not feel good.
Is it a woman thing? Fallon?
Yeah.
Is it easier for women to give love than to receive love? And what holds you back? What holds a woman back from receiving love, not giving the love? We're all carers as women, naturally, biologically, we are carers.
I wonder if that's what I saw growing up. I saw it was done naturally, but it was almost a given.
Mm. So that what?
To give. To nurture, to care about everyone, your family, your friends, your community.
So you saw your mother giving the love, you received it. Is that a natural path?
I mean, I have to say, I'm pretty good at receiving love too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm very good at receiving love. Yeah, I'm very thankful when I do receive it. I acknowledge it. I don't shy away from, you know, claiming that I kind of deserved it.
So هيدي الكلمة صح.
Because I think then you go to dimensions of who are you receiving from and who are you giving to. Mm. So, you know, is it family? Is it the workplace? Is it a partner? When are you in a place to give, and when are you comfortable to receive?
Very good point, actually. You gave me goosebumps just there. So talking about the, you know, where you would receive and where you would give, what is love? Is love love? In every context, or does love differ from context to context? What do you think?
I think it's the same. It's the same feeling.
I don't know if I agree that the feeling is the same, because if I'm sitting with my children, the feeling I have for them is not the same thing as when I'm sitting in the workforce. And the way I show the love is completely different. So maybe inside you, maybe it goes back to self-love. So is it the self-love that you feel for yourself and therefore it has the same meaning to you? Is it the intention, or is it the way that you show the love, the way you communicate the love? Because the communication piece is super important. Is it a word? Is it an action? You know, how are you transmitting and showing people? Because effectively, you may be showing love, but are they receiving it as you're giving it? Because people have different love languages.
Yep.
And so if my language is quality time and physical, but somebody else's language is gifts, and I'm not giving those gifts, will they feel loved?
They won't understand it. It's like speaking a whole different language. You're talking to somebody, a French person in Portuguese. Mm-hmm. It's somehow different. But so I think, my thinking is, the feeling of love is different from the mindset of love. So the feeling may differ, but if we talk about the mindset of love for a minute, that you do things with the intention of positivity, which is love. Love is positive, right? We agree on that. Love is positive. And Lodi, you just said that love is at the core of everything that you do. I don't want to be pessimistic or negative, but yeah, they call it a défaut professionnel from working in the job that I do. My day job is looking at the news. And these days, I'm not finding love at the core of a lot of things that are moving the world.
And I agree, because for me, I approach everything with love. I feel it's just a positive thing to do. It's the way I like to do it. And we spoke earlier about degrees of love. A kid, it's not the same, the love you give to your children and the way you express your love. But I feel that maybe that's what needs to change in the world, that if we are able to approach scenarios, situations with love, the intention of love, love can be empathy. Love can be kindness. There's degrees of it. I think I personally feel that if people have an absence of love inside them, I feel it's difficult to receive love and it's difficult to give love.
Sad.
It is sad.
It is sad when somebody has been tarfi. And I used to watch the little girls who came to play with my daughters when they were in elementary school. They would come for play dates. And those little girls, as soon as the girl walks through the door and I watch the two little girls playing, you could tell who's getting love at home and who isn't. Yeah. And it is so sad. I mean, the signs are somehow there. And the more sad, how do we say this? بزعل أكتر هو إنه هاي الأشياء بتبقى معنا بتبقى معهم للبنات. Being deprived of love at a very young age, maybe unintentionally, maybe the parent, and we're all guilty of that, we're all parents here. You go through a period of time when you're very busy and you're overlooking things, and with some people it's also there are chemical issues within the body that makes the parent distracted from the child or from giving love, and they're marking those children for the rest of their lives, and that's not something that you can give them. But just going back to the mindset of love, Farah, you're big on leading with love, aren't you? As in the corporate world, as in the workplace. Some will say that it's a contradiction in terms. How do you lead with love?
I was labeled the banker with love.
The love banker.
And yes, you're right. I mean, it's a very male-dominated industry where different elements of power, different characteristics are expected. And therefore, maybe being softer and more empathetic is almost seen as being more vulnerable and not as strong. But I think the feminine energy is very much needed. And even if you look at nature and the 3.5 billion years of how nature has evolved in harmony, you kind of touch on that yin and yang and the balance between the male and the feminine energy. So I think we all need to lead with more empathy. We've seen disasters, even if you just go back to COVID, where people were very much needing of love, of empathy, of coaching, of compassion. Everybody struggled in a different way, and leaders who did not empathize with this were just not connected to the teams. And I think it's probably never been a more challenging time to lead as in the last 5 years, because everything has changed. Everything that we knew to be constant has changed, which brings with it all kinds of challenges. And if leaders themselves are not able to develop and grow and start to do things differently, I think the environment is just not receptive to the old forms of leadership.
I was actually going to ask Farah, do you feel that in...
I think only Sibba's allowed to ask.
Sorry, am I allowed to ask the question? That's a conversation.
You're allowed to ask a question. Don't forget your question, but I just want to say something. I have cards here. Okay, I'm going to put them in the on the table. They have questions on them. If anybody feels at any one point they want to change the direction of the conversation, they feel like tapping into something new, or they just want a little bit of a surprise, just pick a card, read it out, and then we can debate.
Okay, awesome.
There we go.
You were going to ask a question.
I was going to ask the question related to the corporate world, and we've all been there or still there. And the question is, do you feel, and that's for all of us, do you feel that men crave love, even in the workplace? So when I asked this question, Farha and I did a trip to Stockholm together for the Inner Development Goals. And when we were watching men hug each other, support each other through affectionate ways, and it was wonderful because they were very comfortable doing it, and the person they were giving the love to as a greeting, as a type of affirmation of support, it was well received. And I think I must have turned to you, or you turned to me, and we said, can you imagine in our circles men giving love in this format together?
But just clarify, please, because my mind is going in a million places right now. These men were hugging and giving love to each other in what context? During the course?
It was a conference.
It was a conference.
And so during break time, you just felt love. People were there for a reason, because they wanted to show up differently. Okay. They're starting to do things differently in their own corporate space or whatever type of work they do. And I think for me, just seeing men naturally hug and kiss each other. Reason why I ask is when my parents emigrated to Australia, my uncles, father, everyone, when they would see another man, they would greet each other with a hug and a kiss.
Yeah.
And then at one point it stopped. And we realized, because someone had told them, that we don't do it like this here.
in our culture, it's easy. Yani, it's how, if you don't greet someone with a big hug and a tap on the back and three kisses, one or two,
yeah, exactly.
It's, then you're not warm enough.
So in Spanish you say cambio, which means change, direction.
Cambio.
How do you center love in times of disagreements?
Good one. That's a very challenging one, actually.
I think it's easy to forget that you love someone when you dehumanize them, when you don't look in their eyes, and kind of, you know, when you're in an argument with somebody, I think the best thing you can do is look at each other into each other's eyes, because that's a reminder of, you know, the persons that you are, a reminder of what you're feeling. It becomes complicated when you just block them out and decide not to look, I think.
And in the workplace?
In the workplace, I mean, it's also in the workplace somehow, like, it's easy to forget that these are people too, and just get angry at them and just blame them for things and forget that they come with their own set of weaknesses and issues and challenges. And so if there's a way at work to kind of sit down with people and have conversations about who they are, then maybe you understand where they're coming from and you have more empathy towards them, and you stop seeing them as these rough, you know, ruthless people who, you know, you see when you're in an argument.
So that kind of love that you are talking about, sorry, that you need in the midst of disagreements, is the mindset, the love mindset.
You need, because it's not love that's directed at anybody. You're not actually loving the person that you're having, trying to resolve the disagreement with. It's just, you're just bringing that mindset into resolving an issue for a purpose. And the purpose is moving the project along, or the success of the company, or et cetera.
Or to be able to sustain the relationship. Mm. It's about, you know, coming in with an open heart and an open mind. It's also about you, you know, stopping yourself at your boundaries and saying, is there a bigger picture here? Is there a way I can look at this differently?
Mm. You have to like
Sounds
someone
easy.
To love them.
Yeah.
You have to like them to love them.
You have to like them to love them.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. They got to be likable.
Mm. It's funny, I asked this question yesterday to Gab and Sophie, my son, and she said no, and he said yes. And the reason was because sometimes in families, if you have relationships that you don't get along, society tells you have to love them, but you may not like them. Versus Gab, who, as a man, who was probably more rational, and said no. You have to like them to love them. It's interesting to see different perspectives and, I guess, situations.
I'm not sure about that. I think, again, not being too philosophical, but I think you can bring love into any relationship, a mindset of love into any relationship. It's hard. The interface is harder if you don't like them. Mm. But if you focus on the purpose, you focus on the goal, then you should be able to bring those facets of love into whatever you are doing.
I think so. I think for me, it's a bit of both. I feel that you need to like someone to love them, but at the same time, I can respect someone and not deeply love them. Mm. So I don't know if there's a boundary or a blurred line between respecting someone, but I don't have to deeply love them.
But Lodi, it's hard to respect someone if you don't like them, right? Mm. Like, how do you respect them for what they do or how they do things if you don't admire how they do it, right? So I feel like...
I think I come from a perspective of, I may have a different perspective myself. Mm. I might disagree with someone's approach, or the way they see things, or the way they see the world, or their opinions. Yeah. However, that's my opinion, that's their opinion, and I could still respect them, but I don't think that that's love.
Yeah.
But I think it goes back to, how do we define love? Because if you say love as a mindset, that's not necessary, it's not a feeling of love. Mm. I'm not sure you can love someone you don't like if it's a feeling. Mm. Mm. But if it's a mindset, then I think it's maybe compassion. It's not really as we know it. You're not going to sit in front of someone you don't like and say, I love you.
Yeah, no. I find that very strange.
No, you cannot.
I'm liking where we've arrived at the differentiation between feeling of love and mindset of love. Mm. So let me ask you this question, especially for those of us who are in a very long-term relationship. I'm نحكي how many years?
28.
عمر كله. And رنا
married for 16, a bit more together.
Okay, so can you have a mindset of love in a long-term relationship if the feeling is not there?
We go on air or off air for
this? This is تحت الهواء. تحت الهواء يعني off air. Go for it, صراحة.
I think it boils down to, you ask yourself, why are you with this person? Mm. And that's where the mindset comes in, right? Mm. If you remove everything, all likes and dislikes, or, you know, those kind of emotions, and you just focus on, why are you with this person? And you can say you have good reason to be with that person because of that, then it's valid, right? Then that's how you bring in the mindset of love, and actually it works. Mm. But if you take out the good, you know, the positive and the negative feelings, and you just look at the relationship and feel like there isn't much value to it, then I think it doesn't last long. Mm.
Does the feeling of love, once you've had a feeling of love, a feeling strong enough that you want to be with this person, that you want to build a home together, that you want to have children together, does that feeling go away? Or does it stay? Once you have the feeling, you have the feeling.
Yeah.
It never goes.
I think so.
I think the feeling is there. Like, so obviously when you make that commitment to be with someone, get married, have children, have goals together, achieve some of those goals, I think what's missing is life is full of challenges. And so life is full of ups, it's full of downs. When you're young and giddy in love, it's a wonderful feeling. Mm. And everything's smooth and you just feel that this is the way life works. And then you come across hiccups along the way. And I think it's what you do in those moments of hiccups, and maybe it goes back to what you were saying, where you have that assessment, is it the situation? Is it we have changed? Is it the love has changed? And I think when you have this commitment that we will go through things together in life, you also understand that it's not only the stages in life from raising children, busy corporate careers, obligations, and then your empty nest, and then you're pivoting. They're all different stages of life, and then we change as people. Mm-hmm. We mature, we evolve. For me, as I matured, and maybe that's a topic for later, but I felt that I was able to start drawing boundaries. Is it too late?
In your love relationship?
And not in my love relationship, in life in general. Okay. Mm. And it could be extended family, it could be in... You know, for me, I just was never really raised to put myself first.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
And I didn't, and I thought it wasn't because of a lack of anything, it's just because I watched my mother put everyone else first, and I thought that was the natural thing to do. And for me, I always did that. I saw my grandmother do it, my mother do it, and I naturally did it. And I think as I've matured and evolved, the love for my husband is always there, the love for my children is always there, but we go through different stages, through ups and downs, and the commitment to stay in love and to stay together is there.
She's coming up with real nuggets today, isn't she?
She's practicing.
Yeah.
Have you been practicing?
At all?
Yeah. Are you sure?
We know her. She prepares.
She practices.
No. Honestly. But this is real. This is my life.
I forgot what the nugget was that I was commenting on now.
Commitment.
Replay.
The commitment?
The sense of commitment. You made a commitment to be in love.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's so important. I think that's what goes missing. If if the, like everything else in life, you need to work at it. Love needs to be worked at.
It's nurtured, and it's not balanced. It's today more love is given to me, tomorrow I'm giving more love. And then I think there's another element. I think as the children grow up and become mature adults, they also start to give their own advice. Mm-hmm. And so when your children start to say, how often do you have date night? Or how often do you do the little things that make you happy on your own? And so I think it's just an evolution.
Mm. They contribute to the pool of love. So there's a pool of love.
Definitely.
that the relationship is drawing on, and the relationship, when that involves children, then the children add to that pool of love. So yeah, like everything else, it needs to be worked at.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there are challenges. Life comes in with challenges.
Yeah.
And other things may take precedent over that commitment to love. Is it a bad thing if you cannot keep that commitment to love? Do you need to feel bad about yourself if you don't?
I think the commitment is to yourself first, before it is to anyone else. And I think not drawing boundaries may lead you to make decisions very differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I drew boundaries early on and had to make decisions and wanted to make decisions to probably protect my children. And so I drew boundaries So even though I was committed, I think challenges occur in life.
Yes.
And you have choices. You always have choices. And I think it's not as easy as saying commitment, not commitment. You know, you have variables. I'm a mathematician by background, so you never have everything constant. The only way you can see the effect of something is by keeping everything else constant. And in life, nothing stays constant. Mm. And so everything is changing at the same time. Mm. And it's all relational. It's interconnected. It's relational. It's not I'm committed, you're not committed. It's not binary. Mm. And so I feel as women, we probably, well, I mean, our minds work much more in networks. And so we connect all these dots much more like in systems. And so we are aware of feelings and emotions of everything around us, and that affects how we feel. We cannot feel something in isolation of what's around us. Although I do feel men are much more compartmentalized and can isolate. And is it good, is it bad? I don't think there's an answer, but it's just we function very differently. Mm. And therefore we make decisions and choices very differently. And so even what might mean commitment to us or an individual may not mean commitment to the other person. And so I don't think it's as easy as just putting labels on words.
I would like to argue that actually breaking that commitment to love in a relationship in itself could be an act of love. Mm-hmm. So the shift in priorities mm-hmm. in applying the love, it could be an act of love because you could be making that decision for the safety of your family, mm-hmm. or you could be making that decision for your own sanity. Yeah. You could be, and sometimes it's a conscious decision actually to stop a particular, to stop a commitment to love, let's call it. So that's, I think Rana wants to shift. Cambio, yeah. Rana.
I have a question. Can you really love your coworkers, your boss? I mean, I love my boss. Like, absolutely love my boss. And
Why do you love your boss?
And it has changed things for me dramatically. Like, I've never been happier at work. And I think it's because of my relationship with my boss.
Was it a conscious decision to love your boss?
Huh?
Was it a conscious commitment to love your boss?
I wanted to love her. And it was very easy to do so because she's such an awesome person. Like, she's a genuinely kind person. Like, she taught me that there aren't enough times in which you can say thank you. She says it 10,000 times a day. I didn't realize I needed to hear it so much, but it made me feel so good, right? Even the smallest things. Mm. She's just a genuinely good person, and she wants me to grow, even if it means I grow beyond her. Like, so I really can't ask for more. And when I experience this kind of love, and I think this is the first time I love someone so much at work, I realized that it changed everything for me. My energy at work, my productivity, my creativity, my willingness to do things. And yeah, I would say yes.
But what would you put it down to, Rana? And a lot of people struggle with that.
Mm.
I mean, if I were to look at the person who would have been my boss recently, I would say I definitely do not love them. And I cannot love them. I cannot love them. I don't know if I can like them.
Or you can love them without liking them?
I cannot like them. I cannot love them. For me, if I don't like someone, it's very difficult for me to love them. For me, it starts with liking someone. For me, it starts with respecting. Mm. If not the whole person, I have to respect certain attributes to be able to move forward. And if there is no respect for attributes within that person, then I cannot love them. But I'm genuinely interested to know, what makes you love? Yani, is it the shared values between you? Is it that you feel that she empowers you? She's selfless in that way?
All of the above.
Hmm.
I feel like it starts with likability. Mm-hmm. You know, I just genuinely like the person. She also, we have very shared, you know, common values. I think honesty is one of them. Kindness is another. Love for community, like humor. We connect on humor, like we do. So like, I feel the fact that we understand each other, we appreciate each other, and that makes a big difference.
Mm.
Is it a feeling that evolved, or is it something that was always there?
I mean, it's been a couple of years, and started off well and it's continued and there have been no hiccups at all. Yeah.
So how much is this is the other thing that comes up when people talk about love, especially romantic love, but also in this case, how much do you put down to chemistry? Just two people find, you know, energies,
energy
meeting.
How would you analyze chemistry?
The feeling, I think, no?
It's real. Like you somehow are connected to someone and chemistry energy draws you together. It's beyond you, I feel.
It's a little bit like us. So what about romantic love? We've been dancing around that for a while.
Romantic love.
Tell me about Rana, tell me how you fell in love with Danny.
I tell you, I have a fun one here.
Cambio.
Favorite media depiction of love, movie, song, or show?
Need to think about that.
Wow,
I absolutely love the show Shrinking. Have you seen it?
Yes.
No. Oh my God. I love it. It's all about love. It's love between neighbors, love that's lost because the woman dies, love with her daughter that she leaves behind, and the love relationship with her dad. It's just about love, I think.
And the friendship love in it is
even
amazing.
Co-workers. That is an example of how you can be in a working environment, but also be friends and deeply love the people that you work with.
A lot of people talk about the workplace being just for work and not for friendship.
No, I remember very clearly a couple of years ago, I made a very clear decision that, you know what? I'm going to be honest in how I love my colleagues because I genuinely like them.
Rana,
and I kind of opened up for it. Yeah.
Do you think the culture in your workplace allowed that?
Yeah, I mean, there are no restrictions. There are no restrictions at all. I think that's the beauty of it as well. Yeah.
No restrictions, but there must be
catalysts.
Yes. But I kind of feel like I created those for myself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do your colleagues have the same feelings of affinity amongst each other?
Yeah, and I see. I mean, I tell you, when I go to the office and I hang out with the people that I love, first of all, I'm super excited to see them. I see them, how excited they are to see each other. And I think it's about, bringing your authentic self to work and being comfortable with it. And when you're true to yourself, you're true to, you're true to your emotions. And that's what I love to see at the office.
Mm. Yeah, that's right, your romantic love.
You want to go back
there?
Oh. I wanted to know how you met Danny, fell in love with Danny.
That's a very long story. No, we're not going to go there, but I will tell you that I proposed to him when I was 27.
Oh, wow.
And it was probably the most romantic thing, the most, avant-gardist thing to do, but it felt right. And it still feels right. So
you knew that you wanted to spend the rest of your life with him.
We had been dating for a year, and I was like, I just needed to know. And I thought, why do women ask all the questions except the question? Why do we ask things like, do you see me as the mother of your children? Do you see me, in your life later? Do you think we'll grow old together? Why don't you just get down on one knee and ask?
I love that. Women should choose.
Yes, of course. It was my choice. Absolutely. Yeah. I wasn't waiting for something to happen to me. I went and I claimed it, basically. Mm.
I have an interesting question.
Go.
If you allow me, unless you have another one.
No, go ahead.
Which current relationship are you the proudest of? And I guess this is referring to love.
Can I say and be brutally, brutally honest?
Yeah.
I was having this conversation earlier before we came into the studio at another meeting. The current relationship that I am the proudest of is the relationship with myself. Wow. And this is something that I really have a lot of pride in because it has evolved through the years. And my relationship with my younger self is also another one that I am proud of. That relationship needed some resolution, needed to come to a certain resolution. I'm very happy with where I have arrived now. I like and love myself and the choices that I make. And so I'm proud that I'm that did not happen coincidentally. I wasn't born with that. Nobody gave me that. That's something that I worked on and arrived at today. Not to say that I'm not proud of many other relationships in my life, because those are relationships in my life, like my relationships with each one of you, with my husband, with my children, with my parents, my mother, and the rest of my friends, they're all part and parcel. They're a piece of in the puzzle of my relationship with myself. And you
can't top that. You can't.
No,
top.
No,
you cannot. For me,
yeah,
I think it's my children. Yeah. I think I feel that, and maybe it's a function similar to you. As you evolve with your own personal relationship, it directly affects your relationship with others. And for me, I feel I've reached a point where my children are my best friends, and there is no one I enjoy my time more with than with my children, whether it's a dinner or vacation or. To me, it's, I would not, besides, of course, my best friends, you know, to me is my children.
Yeah. On this mastermind circle, you just said my best friends, and we are now best friends. We have to clarify, you know, the mastermind circle started على أساس إنه نحن, we're not friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are just here to support each other.
Like working women.
Yeah,
talking,
working women.
Talking once a month.
But then that evolved into a circle of close friendships. And you know those, the blue zones and the research that was done on longevity. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that main factor, aside from eating well, sleeping well, and so on, is having that support
community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway, it's decided we're all going to be together in the same
forever.
Yeah.
Commitment. Commitment.
Commitment.
And I think it's so important because I know I am very far away from my immediate family. Yeah. My children live abroad. Mm. My family live abroad. It's my husband and I. And we choose who we want to spend time with. So I think this friendship is very important to me because I know you all have my back. I know you all care for me. And I know I enjoy spending time with you. So when Siba sends a message, who's up for a walk on the beach? We're all up for a walk on the beach. And it can be random. It doesn't have to be structured. But it means we're all thinking of each other. And I value that relationship. But back to what Farah said about her children, I so relate to that. And I think raising children must be one of the most enjoyable yet challenging responsibilities we have as parents.
Doesn't get easier?
No.
Actually,
no.
Actually, one thing I will say is that when you have that closeness that you talk about, and I relate to that, it happens organically and it happens naturally. And for us, I've come from a very large extended family where everybody shows love to each other. But when we came out to Dubai 20 odd years ago, it was only the four of us. And we really were that nuclear family. And we did everything together. And I think maybe we took that for granted. But over time, you realize the relationship you built with your children that evolves naturally and organically. When I'm a parent, when I need to be, I'm a friend when I need to be, I'm still a parent. When they both went off to universities and they went to different countries, I think what really surprised me is they were checking in on a daily basis.
Wow.
I did not want to be the mum that was worried about my son in the US and being the one, have you eaten? Have you slept? Have you done this? Have you? I didn't want to be that mum, but deep down, they're the questions I was having. So when they check in every morning, whether it's walking to work, waking up, getting ready, whatever, or walking home, or even asking for guidance, advice, or when we are together, you see how they've evolved, you realize that that is really precious to me as a parent.
Of course.
Can I do a quick cambio, but without a card?
Sure.
Because I'm really curious to understand your views on generational love. We've touched on it now, but you go from grandparents to our parents, to us, to our children, to our grandchildren. How does generational love, how is it perceived, received, given? What does it mean, generational love? Because we definitely don't speak the same languages.
I think the fundamentals are the same. Like,
really?
Yes, it's about kindness, it's about companionship, it's about empathy. I think the foundations are the same throughout those generations. Because I look at my kids, they also want kindness and they want appreciation and they want acknowledgement, and like you want to be seen, you want to be loved, you want to be heard.
It's an interesting point because we were talking about that the other day, and I think Farah, you were challenging us saying, but is it wrong that if this new generation of a particular age don't want to stand up to greet someone, is that wrong? Are we right?
Yeah, so I think it's what differs is the how,
The action,
not the what.
The intention, the mindset.
It's how you show the love, right? Like you're saying, your children check in on you every day. That's a form of love. That's how they show their love, right? I mean, you couldn't do that with your parents if you were in uni because there were no phones at the time, for example.
But it's interesting. I check in with people that are not even immediate family. Like, I remember an aunt in Australia that used to babysit us sometimes. Or I think of her and how she made me feel. And I'm like, oh, I hope she's doing well. I'm going to check in and give
her
a call.
That's so sweet.
And so I think that sometimes you're just sitting and it just randomly comes to you. And I didn't realize how the checking in has this incredible impact.
Mm.
You're calling me, you thought of me, is everything okay? And I remind her of something she did when I was a child that sweet. I still cherish.
That's so nice of you. That's so kind of you, actually. Yeah.
But it makes
as
me
well.
Feel good. And I really want to appreciate her for that.
Mm. That's very... really kind of you to make her day in that
yeah,
way,
absolutely.
But it's also sorry, as you say, rewarding for you as well, and that keeps the connection going. You asked about generational love. I want to go up a generation. So when we're little, we're giving that unconditional love to our parents, and as we get older and they get older, and then get to a certain point where we become the carers, and you know, and then the formula is inverted. And is that the same kind of love? I know you and I, Farah, are going through that at the moment.
I think there's a little bit of resistance there. I think there is that inflection point in your life where you feel the one who's cared for, and then all of a sudden you are the carer. And at times I think there's a little bit of resentment as to why is that happening so quickly? You know, did I have enough time to do what I wanted to do before I suddenly had to? But then I think maybe the feeling of love and the gratitude of how much love was given to you and sacrifice, especially by our parents' generation, our mothers, they devoted their entire life to us. And if I ask my children the same thing, I mean, I had a career, as it wasn't my entire life devoted, and so maybe the answer will be different. But I think it's there's a tension in there for sure, and I think the tension is inside you, and I think it's us to accept and realize what is important for us, and how do we want to share that love. And receive it, because we've received it unconditionally.
Do we still want the same love from our parents at this age that we got when we were little?
Yeah.
I say yes.
When I see my parents, I go sometimes to Bahrain. I see my mom and dad there, and we have a weekend together. I feel like I'm 8 years old all over again, with two small ponytails here. Like, that's exactly how I feel. My dad joked the other day when we're coming back from the beach. He's like, all you're missing is Bouwé. It's exactly how I felt.
Very
and
cute.
It felt so good, honestly.
Very
and I
cute.
Hope it lasts for a long time.
Yeah. I don't think anything replaces the love of parents. Inshallah, le khalilik ya hon.
Thank you.
I know the three of us lost our dads, and it doesn't get any easier. Thinking about them, wanting their love somehow, wanting that kind of love doesn't go away.
Cambio.
Name one trait you love about each woman here. Yes.
I remember we had that question a long
yes.
time ago.
We've done this before.
And I went like I took like a very professional angle to it.
Yeah. Take like, unprofessional now.
Was like, what is that?
Let's have it. يعني أبداً crude.
Again, as it is. Can I not start this time? Give me some time. Farah. To think.
Okay, I'll start.
One trait.
Oh, just one.
One trait one. You love about each woman here.
Okay. Kindness.
Absolutely.
Mm. Inner wisdom. Mm. Mm-hmm. Vulnerability.
Oh. Mm. Really?
Mm. Nice. And about yourself, Farah?
About myself. Always put ourselves last.
Mm. Do we ever think about it, actually?
I say love. I mean,
yeah.
I really think I love is something that I give unconditionally, never ever questioning. Mm. Where it goes, how it goes, what comes back.
The other thing that Farah gives unconditionally, and that's a trait that I love about her. I mean, we love that the love trait, of course, but I love that you give your time and attention also unconditionally. للقريب والبعيد, whether you're close to someone or you're not, everyone whom you come across will have a space in your of time and attention from you, and that's beautiful. That's not something many people in this world do.
It's unique.
Yes.
If I could say that,
it's Siba's words.
They're your words.
It's okay.
I wanted to add, but I'll wait for my turn.
It's your turn.
No, go ahead.
So I wanted to add for that, but it was not the only trait I was going to say, and I'll work this way. Is that even when Farah is traveling to the city that my children are in? They are always overwhelmed that Mama Farah reached out and she wants to catch up. And if she is really tight on time because she's there for 24 hours or 48 hours, she will actually invite them to join a family get together.
Yeah.
And that's special, because who does that?
So Farah, do you do that for everyone or just for the people you love?
I think for the people, and I don't know if the word is love.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the people I care about, I'm not sure if it's love or not love, but it's people I care about that I care to see. I make choices of who I want to see.
What does that give you?
It doesn't give me anything. It's what I give them. It's not about what I receive. It's about what I give. And I know that those little nuggets, that those moments, those words that I share of my, maybe my journey, has an impact on somebody's life. And I've heard it so many times. I think for me, that is more satisfying and more of a personal feeling of self-love, knowing that I've had a positive impact on somebody's life.
I'd like to add something to that, if I
may.
Okay. I read somewhere that, you know, your feeling of self-worth comes from three things. One of them is self-acceptance. So making terms with who you are. Two is believing in others. So like genuinely believing that the intention of others around you is good, and people are not out there to get you. And three is contribution to others. So this contribution to others is actually an important pillar of how you feel about yourself, kind of. Yeah.
And one trait that I love about Rana is her positivity. Touch wood. I'm yet to find Rana on a day when she is not feeling 100% positive.
Yeah.
Or 99% positive. I'm yet to find that. Inshallah, we don't see that. Do not see that day.
Wallah?
So you, okay.
It's her positivity, honestly.
Are you emulating her, copying her, or are you, you think it's a genes?
Yeah, I don't know. I just grew up in that. It's normalized. Yeah, I mean, we went through war. The first 15 years of my life were through war, and yet we were positive, we were optimistic. Even I went through a health scare last year, and her words were, stay positive, stay optimistic, be hopeful about the future. Even my dad, yeah, he speaks the same language.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I just grew up in that and I don't know anything else.
You were in a plane crash and you still fly.
In Australia.
In Australia. But I'm here, so.
And yes.
Smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and I still fly, just FYI. Yeah.
And one trait I love about Lodi is, you know, how you are, you also somehow see they're all, if not the same trait, branches of the same trait. You have that, you have such a big heart.
Yeah.
The world can fit in your heart.
Yeah, seriously.
The whole world can. Yeah, and you're willing to let the world fit in your heart. And you cook so well.
If one, you have, said one. Did you get us any protein balls?
And thank you for the protein balls with the orange cake.
Yeah, no, you'll have to come over. So, thank you.
Yeah. So that's what I love about you guys.
Now, so you my did, turn. Oh. I haven't done my turn. So, if I start with Siba, there are so many things. It's difficult to find one trait. But for me, beyond everything that we've just spoken about, the aspirations and the ambition to dream big, to dare to dream big, I love that. And I think for me, you're a role model. Honestly, and I say it with such authenticity because we spoke earlier about nothing comes easy. There are challenges. But you've really taught us that you don't give up. You pursue what you believe in. And maybe that goes back to the inner wisdom that Farah was talking about. With Farah.
I thought you already told.
No, I was sharing. I was sharing.
Never enough.
I think if I was to choose one, and there are so many, and I think, you know, I agree with everything that Rana and Siva have been saying, but I think it's the humility. I think who you are as a person and that authentic humility.
For sure.
Thank you.
I second that. I second that.
And Rana?
And Rana. Again, it's so difficult with one. But I think there's this happy, positive state to a point where it's cool to be chill. And I think that rubs off on us as well.
And this is why these meetings are successful. And this is why we love them.
Feel because
we
good.
Sit, yeah. We sit and we talk positively about each other. And you know what? No joke. We need that. Affirmations. Yeah. We need people's affirmation. We to affirm what we feel about ourselves. Exactly. Or to affirm, to negate what we may be feeling about ourselves. I don't feel much of a role model a lot of the days, but if Lodi comes up on any good day and tells me, you're a role model to me, and immediately that lifts me up, and that's part of the support that, you know, we get together to give each other, right? So this is a bit more practical, and it's asking us to be honest. How do you prioritize work, family, friendship, and yourself, Adam? The eternal question.
Is there such a thing as prioritize?
Yeah.
There are no priorities.
It's just the hikir, fattushian, working all together. Sometimes work is important, sometimes home is important. It's just like, you just manage. At the end of the day, if you want something to get done, give it to someone busy.
Absolutely.
So us being busy with all these things allows us to finish things.
Yeah. Do you have priorities?
I agree. So I mean, it's delegation. Yeah. One morning you're gonna wake up and your children maybe are the most important thing that you have to address in life. And another day it's a project that you're working on. Maybe it is priorities, but it's also having that ecosystem around you that allows you to choose what should be your priority, because everybody's gonna have a different opinion on what your priority is. You have to set your boundaries of how do you prioritize, not just what you prioritize. You go back to your choices. Every morning you have choices. During the day you have choices, and you're choosing for who? For yourself, for others, who comes first?
It's also about asking.
Asking for help.
Asking for help when you really need it. Like telling your partner, I need you to do this for today.
But also the focus on self-love. I don't think I've ever, or self-care. I don't know if it's self-love or self-care.
We haven't talked much about that. We need to talk about
self-care. So I think when I look at
next week,
the impact that you have all had on me to maybe prioritize self-care, I think in a corporate busy role with young children and managing, like you all said, because you're not prioritizing, you're just trying to do what needs to be done. The only sort of focus on myself was exercise. I know that was important to me. I did it before work, it was done, but then everything was just super busy. And I think for me to start feeling comfortable with taking care of myself in different ways, and I think I made that decision when I realized I was taking so much on and I was searching for something and I didn't know what that something was, but I felt that I needed to breathe, take some time out. And I've never stopped and thought about me. I need to look after me. I was just always naturally giving and giving to everything, work, family, children, my husband, everyone, friends, etc. And I think when I took that decision, I felt a little bit guilty. And when my children and my husband said, "Mom, go do what it is that you feel like doing." And that was when I started to say, I need to explore something different. And I found something that worked for me, which was an Ayurvedic timeout for myself. And I feel that that's my little indulgence for myself. And I still do it. And I feel it grounds me. I don't feel guilty anymore about taking that time out. And I think it really made me realize that if I can take care of myself, then I'm able to take care of everyone else I love a lot better without burning out. And I remember leaving the center that I do this treatment at, and I remember ringing Samir saying, "I feel so light, I feel so happy, I just want to hug everyone walking down the street." And he's like, "No, don't do that, just come home and you can
hug us.
But that feeling of when you do take care of yourself and you prioritize and you choose to take care of yourself in that way, it's incredible how much more love you can give.
Absolutely. You and Samir are probably one of the most romantic couples that I know, and you've been together just under 30 years. So what's the secret?
We need to clone him.
Tell us.
Honestly, I think it's a give and take. We are so different in who we are as people. I've never really stopped to think about it, but definitely our values are so aligned. And I think we show love differently.
Okay.
And so I think
she just answered my question.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Do men and women express love in different ways? Go ahead, you can continue.
Sorry.
You so show love differently. You have different love languages, yet you're still in love after so many years.
That's right.
That's so interesting.
And I think it's when you realize and understand it's okay to have different ways of showing love.
So how does he show?
So you know. So
care.
So the care.
What do you mean she knows?
I'll tell you. There's a story.
We experience the situation.
There's a funny story, and I'll let Farah tell the story. But I think that care and kindness is the core of who he is, yes. And wanting to be responsible to take care. And I just always had that with Samir. So for me, I thought every husband did that. I thought it was normal. And there was an incident.
Because it's beyond normal.
When we were traveling.
We were traveling in September.
We're in Monaco.
Year.
We had meetings in Monaco.
So she was flying from Paris to Monaco, to Nice.
Yes, to Nice.
I was already there, so she was meeting me there. And Sam messaged me, says, "Lodi's on her way. When she lands, should she take a taxi or an Uber?" I said, "I don't know. Does it matter? Could she just take whatever she wants when she lands?" He said, no. Because if she takes a taxi, I can't track her and make sure she arrives safely to Monaco. Oh. I said, "What do you mean? I mean, she can probably do that on her own." He said, no. I'll book her the Uber. And the whole route between Nice and Monaco, he's messaging me. She's arriving at this time. She's almost there. And he's in Dubai. And I'm thinking, okay, so now when we start walking around Monaco, are you also going to track us when we're walking? But it was such a kind, protective, I'm here for you.
And you like that. You enjoy that.
I think I got used to that. And I know that's his way of telling me that he loves me. I never saw it as anything differently. And he's not someone that's going to say, "I love you." He just doesn't, you know, they're not words that are going to come to him.
All right.
But it's through his acts of kindness in different ways. And that's one of them. And he does that with the children as well. For me, I like to feel loved. I like to...
Your parking meter is another one.
What's your parking meter?
He takes care of the parking meter when she arrives at a parking meter. I'm at this number. Okay, parking meter filled. I said, "I need one of those."
And so the children do the same thing. It's like, "Oh, I need to change banks. You know, what do you advise? Let's talk to Dad." Or, "Dad, I need to do this." So I think it's everyone now understands that his kindness.
He's a carer.
He's a carer.
Yeah. Okay. And that's what keeps the relationship
I think
fresh.
Just understanding that we...
How do you express your love to him then?
I'm affectionate.
Okay.
And I can be really silly as well. And I think the humor part of it, when you're not expecting it,
yeah.
is also nice. I think
yeah.
it breaks that...
Yeah, I think that's it's nice to keep things light,
mm-hmm.
especially when things start to get heavy.
Mm. And I like to
keep
take care
light.
Of him as well. Like I know
cook.
What he likes to eat. I love to cook for him. I love to know where I've sourced from, how I've prepared it, and it's good and wholesome for him. That's
cambio.
Another.
Yeah, cambio.
What's a small everyday act of love that means a lot to you?
Hmm.
So I think I grew up in a home of love. I saw my parents, you know, they were for always, they were, you know, they love each other. And every night before they go to sleep, they give each other a kiss. And every morning when they see each other in the morning, they give each other a kiss. And I think that is a true act of love. And it's important that you do these. Sometimes it's just, you know,
mm.
caressing somebody or just doing it frequently. And it just adds tenderness to the whole relationship.
Mm.
No, I'm still thinking about the question. You go ahead. Thinking about
a small
everyday.
Act of love that means a lot to me. It's nice to know that someone's thinking of you
mm.
at any moment of the day. So you get a call, you get a
yeah.
a message. That's quite nice. Mm.
You know, I think I've taking care of myself for so long that it's kind of almost hard to think about what little thing someone else can do
mm.
that makes that difference.
Mm.
And
what is something you do?
Meditation, the sports, the things I enjoy doing, my
mm.
silence. But I think flowers, I buy flowers for myself because I love flowers. So to me, I don't need somebody to buy me flowers.
Now we know what we're getting here for.
But my son sometimes will come home and, you know, have flowers waiting when I come back, knowing that, you know, it's something I love. And so I think I'm just grateful for
mm.
every little thing that happens. And I'm,
you know what I like, come to think of it, and I don't know if you feel the same, Lodi, because I, like you, also
mm.
cook quite a lot, and I cook for everybody.
When you sent me that cake, that was yummy.
Yeah, that was a small act of love.
It was a yummy
there
cake.
You go, because your small act of love was amazing. So a couple of weeks ago, my mother had a bad fall
mm.
at home, and I was the other end of town, and to get to her, I needed 45 minutes. There was no one else around, and who would I call? Farah lives 10 minutes down the road from me. I called Farah, I said, are you at home? She said, immediately, without even me saying anything, I said, yes, what's wrong? What do you need? I said, could you do me a favor and go to my house? She said, I'm on my way,
oh,
but
wow.
tell me what's there. What's in your house? I said, my mom just had a fall. By the time I had gotten home 45 minutes later, Farah was there, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The ambulance was also there. They were taking my mother
mm-hmm.
to hospital. Farah was in the ambulance with my mom. So
she was having fun. We were
you were having so much fun. My mom, in the midst of everything that's happening, she looks up and she sees Farah sitting on the edge of her bed. And she goes, ah, auntie
home.
She actually wanted to look at herself in the mirror before she got into the ambulance
yeah.
to make
oh,
sure
yeah.
she looked good.
Did she put her lipstick
oh.
on? Because she never
on.
Leaves the house without
she
her lipstick.
She always looks so put together.
So Farah was in the ambulance with my mom. Bless her. That was not a small act of love. That was a huge act of love, for which I will be eternally grateful. So she got a cake the next day.
Which is a beautiful, beautiful, delicious, yummy cake that we finished very quickly with.
Yeah. So yeah, I, like you, like to cook, and I cook for the people I love. And a great act of love, I would consider, for me, is if I were to come home and find that, you know, somebody's cooked something for me.
Really?
You could come and cook.
I don't cook,
don't
so I can't do that
for you.
No, don't.
I don't cook either.
No,
sorry.
No, no. Sima, you know that when you cook, you do put your love into the food.
I know.
So when
yeah.
you taste something and someone says, how did you make that? Oh, it's the same ingredients. It's simple,
yeah.
but you do put your love and your energy
yeah,
into
no,
food.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
So what is, how does that work for people that don't cook?
Yeah, really.
I mean, how do we put our love and energy
they give us
food?
You give us love.
We have to eat it.
You give us love in different ways. You show love.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, again, it's a love language. And feeding people, and that's something I got from my mother. Feeding people is
her language. I have to say, at Christmas, I did cook. And I made pumpkin soup and my mom's filet and my mother's in-law vol-au-vent. And this is like the standard recipe of every year, which you've tried. But I remember when I was cooking the soup, like I wanted to pour love into it. So I was making hearts.
That's cute.
That's how I poured love into the cookie. Cute. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah, that's very cute. So you have a question?
Shall I?
Go ahead.
What is one value that is essential to you in a friendship?
Love.
In a friendship?
Yes, absolutely.
Humor. I think we laughed ourselves into this relationship.
I would say honesty.
I think you've said them all. I was going to say honesty. And I think that goes back to love as well. When you love someone, you feel comfortable and safe enough to be that honest. And I think the value of honesty.
I kind of think love is an umbrella. And you have a whole bunch of words that have different meanings that sit under love.
100%.
I like that.
Do we believe that in love there is also suffering? Or should there be? Some people define love as suffering.
What do you mean?
And then you hear all these songs, especially.
Oh, broken heart suffering.
Broken heart.
Romeo and Juliet.
Oh.
Right? Some people feel that if they are struggling and they're waiting for that call or waiting for that nice word to come through, then that's love.
Could you love someone who doesn't love you? Romantic love,
Hala. Ah, romantic love.
No, akid love.
I think it's possible. It could be one-way love, of course.
I don't know.
It's based on something.
I met Sam at university, so I don't
know. Yeah, for sure. For sure, one-way love is possible.
Of course.
Yeah?
Romantic love?
Romantic one-way love.
For sure, it's possible. And don't all look at me like that.
There is suffering in that love.
For sure, there's suffering.
And so is it a greater love if it has suffering?
No.
No, why would it?
I don't know how genuine it can be, because exactly. I'm not sure how genuine one-way love can be. I wonder whether it's this aspiration to want what you can't have, rather than, is it a lust? Is it really love? I mean, I would think that love is kind of mutual, and I'm not sure how deeply somebody can love, but we know it exists. So there is a jealous love, there is a obsessive love, there's all kinds of love. And the other thing that's confusing, I think, is that the word love is the same word in English. But Arabi, there's many words that are used. But in English, it's one word. And so it's almost taken out of context in different situations.
So I remembered something now. When we were getting married, I told Danny, you know, why don't we sign a 10-year agreement? Like 10 years of a marriage, you know.
It's generous, good. I think. 5 would have gone.
I mean, 10. Let's say 10. We have the children. And then, you know, maybe there's another chapter in life where we meet somebody else. And he looked at me and he was like, you're crazy. Like, this is only going to get better.
So he didn't sign?
He didn't sign.
But that's cute.
Yeah.
I like that.
I really think that things do get better with the depth of the relationship, the friendship, the things that we say that require so much courage. You have to have that psychological safety to be able to be courageous to say them. And it boils down to friendship, you know, enjoying each other's company. I mean, that's what matters to me, at least.
So you wouldn't recommend the 10-year?
No, I think it's maybe.
I like it.
As an exercise in self-love, I would like you each to tell me, to describe yourselves, the attributes that you love about yourself. Ooh. Talk about saving the best to last. Oh. Yalla. Who's brave enough to start by telling us what
competition
are the attributes?
Fee competition.
I don't believe in competition. I believe in collaboration now.
We collaborated by each one of us giving what she thought was the other's best or the attributes that she loved.
So
best
one word, her. Basically.
Love. No. Describe yourself.
Be generous to yourself. Yeah. Don't stick to
Come
one
on,
word.
Tell me. Describe yourself. Self-love, huh? Miss self-criticism.
I'm just.
It's difficult.
Are you looking at
it's
me
hard.
To start? Okay. I love that I'm very humble, and I think that's because I was brought up in a family that was surrounded by layers and layers of power and wealth. And I think my parents very, very, I think, got very, I would say, out of a sense of love, guarded, protected us, kept us in this shell and bubble, isolated from all of that, but recognizing what that meant, recognizing what value that brought, but also what destruction that could bring. And so we grew up, I feel, very humble. I feel being humble and recognizing what is around me is a core part of who I am. And that enables me to walk into the world head high and be very proud of what I have achieved on my own merit. Mm. Never ever having someone give me something that I wasn't able to achieve myself. And to me, that is a sense of responsibility to give that to the world.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you ladies ready or not yet?
I can go next.
Go on.
So I think, if I think about, you know, what people tell me, basically, because that's how you kind of define yourself, by what people tell you, I feel like people are attracted to my energy. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just this positivity, maybe the fact that I'm cheerful, I'm smiling most of the time. I can't see a person in the hallway and not throw in a smile. Like, it's just, you know, a natural thing to do for me. But also very positive and optimistic about the world, and I think that is, you know, the core of who I am and the core of hopefully what I do for the rest of my life.
It's a hard one. I think I listened to you all talk about kindness when you think of me and giving love, and I think for me that's a given. But like you, Rana, I often get told when I see people, your energy has uplifted me. Mm. And I've heard it from more than one person. And actually, sometimes maybe I can get too excited about things, but I actually like that I own that, and I don't want to change that about myself. Mm. If that energy that I feel, the positive energy, the kind energy, if I feel that I can still be myself and someone is receiving that and happy about receiving that, then I'm proud of that.
Hello. I like that I have the grit that you talked about and the tenacity, because that got me through a lot of things many times, and we all need that, and I know we all have it here. And I also like the fact that I am quite versatile, so I can be this very corporate person or this highly visible personality, and I can at the same time be that person who's arms deep inside two turkeys at Christmas, cooking a massive Christmas lunch for you've seen that, cooking a massive meal for all the people that I love. I like that I can be very direct and focused and razor focused on my work. At the same time, I can be a sack of love for my family when they need it.
And your friends.
And my friends, and my beautiful, beautiful friends. And thank you all for coming and joining me today in my beautiful home.
With the chimney.
Yeah, the fireplace over there.
We just needed some marshmallows.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, هدول كانوا على رنا. رنا did not bring
them. بعد ما نخلص كي وهيك نجمع
سمورز. We toast them.
This was fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, keep coming.